You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And if you hear my voice, then you are blessed. For today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. Boy, I tell you, I am so happy that the weather has looked like it has taken a turn for the better. And it is just a beautiful morning, and it's been a beautiful couple of days, and I'm excited about summer. I'm excited about the Cubs. I'm excited about the Bears and their forthcoming season. And I'm excited about this guest that we have on here this morning who's going to share some very interesting information for us, Professor Ted Williams. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Brother John. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Amen. Yes. That's how I feel every morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Ted, you have come on our show, and we're going to discuss in detail about Juneteenth. And, yeah, and I'm excited about that because this is the 400th anniversary, is it not, that's going to be, I guess, recognized that we were in slavery. This would be the end of the 400-year ring, would it not?
Yes. So, basically, August 20th of 1619, it is recorded that 19 African slaves arrived in Jamestown, Virginia, on a Dutch ship. Now, many people believe that there were enslaved Africans here at some points prior to that. They also believe that if you look at some of the what we now call Mexico, some of these empires, if you will, that there were people of African descent that were engaged in those communities. However, we commemorate and we celebrate August 20th, 1619, as the anniversary, 400-year anniversary of the African-American journey. And we are very excited to celebrate and remember this very important date.
And so, Professor Williams, you're also a ordained pastor, are you not?
I am a minister, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And so you have some very unique gifts that you bring to the table in terms of recognizing this. But tell us a little bit about your humble beginnings. Where did you get this makeup of who you are right now?
So I grew up really between South Indiana and Chicago. I grew up as someone who, as a young kid, my mother allowed for me to be engaged in artistic work. I got an agent at 12 years old.
At 12 years old?
At 12 years old, yes, sir. And began to do commercial and video work here in Chicago. And so as I was doing that, I really had not developed on my spiritual journey yet. And it took until I got into college to really find the Lord. And when I found that space for me, I really was kind of torn in terms of my artistic work because I just wasn't necessarily sure where to go with it. And I had a really good friend who was involved in some artistic work in New York at the time, who was also a person of faith, who really encouraged me to combine the two. And from that point on, about 1996, I really have spent much of my career combining my faith with my art, but also with my academic training, which is in politics and community work. And so that's really sort of the genesis of my journey artistically and spiritually. And I'm a firm believer, and many people will say, you know, you wear so many hats. I say, not really, because I am just using what I've been given by the Creator to affect communities. And people have various ways that they work and they serve. Mine are really the art and sort of the political community activism space. And at the core of that is, for me, a message of spiritual and social transformation. And so for me, it's seamless. I work in the classroom, and really my artistic and community work is just an overflow of that work that I do to inspire students every day.
And that's awesome. And you also ran for alderman, too, at one time, did you not?
Yeah, I did. 4 years ago. Some people say I need my head examined for getting involved in the mucky waters of Chicago politics. And but I there's a politician that inspired me years ago. He said that politics are dirty, but they're like dirty dishes in a kitchen. Someone's got to clean them. And so if people who are unwilling to, who are wanting to do good stuff are not willing to get engaged, then we have no hope. So I did jump in, and, you know, we weren't ultimately successful at winning the aldermanic seat in the Ninth Ward in the city of Chicago. But I had a wonderful experience, met many people, learned a great deal, and just continue the work in different spaces now.
And you, too, have served as a political commentary, analysts for various media outlets too, right, Ted?
Yeah, I've just been asked to come on various programs and talk about what I think we need to be doing in our communities. I got a chance to host a television show with WYCC for 6 years. And so, you know, really, I can tell you that the media today is probably our most important tool, as you know, because the work that you're doing right now, is our most important tool for reaching people. And if we don't have a media presence, I don't know that we can really affect them. I believe if Jesus were here today, he'd be on the radio or he'd be on TV in some way, shape, or form. Just because you can connect with so many people that way. And I'm not suggesting that there wouldn't have been the personal aspect of that work either, because that's important as well. But I do think that, as I've learned, that I can spend much time teaching, you know, 20, 30 students in a class, and I can reach 3,000 people within an hour through the media, 30,000 people. And there just really is no comparison. And so I've been blessed to get engaged with some media work, and I hope to continue that as I go on in my life, my journey.
Well, Ted, we're going to take a pause right now and join you in a few seconds and talk about this other passion you got going.
Fantastic. I look forward to it.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll talk to Cardinal Blaise Cupich about the recently passed abortion legislation in Illinois. We'll hear from Father Greg Boyle, whose mission is to confront the culture of violence. And we'll introduce you to the newly ordained priests for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years, then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Fuselier from Dumb Ox Ministries, and we're excited to introduce our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II, and we dive into questions like, who am I? What's the meaning of my life? What's all of this stuff about relationships and discernment? How do I pray? And many other questions just like it. Teens and young adults join us June 14th through the 20th at St. Xavier's University for an amazing Echo experience. More information can be found at respectlifechicago.org, or you can give us a call at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355.
If you just joined us, you're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. I have, as this morning's guest, Professor Ted Williams, who is just a delight to talk to. Ted, you know, you talked about wearing many hats, and God has given you these gifts that you are obviously utilizing. And the Bible does say, as we know, too much is given, much is expected. And God has given us both gifts, as I realize, and I think we're both doing a pretty good job of wearing these hats and balancing them, I should say. But I think what we have in common, Ted, more than anything, is we have a great passion and love for our people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I have developed this passion for youth. And you obviously have the same sort of passion. Now, you lobbied to expand the age for students in Illinois seeking health care insurance.
Yeah. So my work, I've been teaching at Kennedy King College now for 17 years. Mm-hmm. And through that time, I've been able to meet some wonderful people. So I was approached years ago by an organization called Youth Pact that was really in the city trying to engage young people around social action, social justice issues, really helping them to find their voice. And so they were in the process of working on this legislation prior to that. And the interesting thing about this legislation is that they were working on this prior to President Obama getting elected to the U.S. Senate and then also to the presidency. And the work that they were doing, I really just felt like I was a part of it with my students. We worked to push, organize, and lobby for them expanding, the state of Illinois expanding the age of children on their parents' insurance to the age of 26. And so if you look at the Obamacare legislation that passed nationally, that is really one of the centerpieces, even so much so that of all the things that Trump is trying to get rid of in the Obamacare piece, that is one of the things he actually wants to keep. And so we're very proud of that work because, really, I think that if you look at voting trends, young people who need the government assistance in many ways until they can sort of move into whatever space or career are often the least likely to vote and the least likely to be engaged in the political process. And so empowering them is critical. I work with college students every day in the city colleges who I'm helping to find their voice, helping to find their level of power and their ability to stand up for what they believe. It is really sad to me how our political process and political system really is designed to lock young people out because they don't have money or they don't have resources. And these are the people who need to be most active. And so I am super excited to be in a position every day to do that. And once again, as we talked artistically, for me, the things I do in the arts and the media are really just an outpouring of that kind of work. Young people, you know, people said they're our future. No, they really are present. And particularly those that I work with who are young adults, I work primarily with 18 through 25-year-olds, they are the present, they are the now, and we've got to empower them to the best of our ability.
Amen. And speaking of the arts, you are big in arts. You have a background in theater.
I do. So I, as I said before, my artistic journey is one in which my mom loves the arts and has poured into us now, so much so that fast forward today, my daughters, Gabrielle Morris and my son, Theodore, they all are involved in artistic work. And my mother is still performing with them, which I think is so cool. She just did a show with them last week. But what I was able to do was work in theater and arts from the time that I was probably, like I said, 12. But when I got to college, that really expanded for me. I found this faith journey that was very important, and it opened me up in ways that I'd never thought. So I began at that point to dance in college, which I had never done. And then I began to write, and not only write productions, but write music. And I really believe that the creative arts are divine. Now, I'll say this. I just did an interview with another group like this the other day, and we were talking about how I believe everyone is an artist. Picasso said that every child is an artist. The key is just finding a way to make them stay an artist when they grow up. And I think that all of us are creative in whatever way we are. So maybe if you cook, you're creative. If you draw, you're creative. If you decorate a house, you're creative. If you're a fashionista, you're creative. And I find that everyone has their creative outlets. Mine just happened to be in the performing arts. But I did not find them deeply until I opened up my spirit, and I felt like God started to pour these things into me. And I then, at probably, I think it was 21 years old, started writing a musical production that I had never done before, and God gave me 14 original songs, and we created a musical called Torn, and we toured that for a while. I also toured with a small gospel theater production around the country back in 1999 as well. And have done a variety of things. I've danced with a number of groups and worked on the Miss Illinois pageant. We were hired to dance and do some things that way. We've done a lot of commercial work. In fact, I have a commercial out right now, which I'm excited about. If anyone's watching the Cubs games or anything like that, you might see a basement leaking commercial, and my funny face is popping up in there. But having said all that, it's really an honor to work in that space, and I once again believe that if you just open yourself up to the Creator, you'll find that even if you didn't realize it, you probably, most people have some creative gifts, and I think that I really believe that God is waiting to tap into them, because ultimately He is the ultimate Creator, and so why, if we are made in His image, would we not be creating things as well?
Amen. Good stuff. And we're going to break at that and come back, and we're going to talk about this great other passion that you have.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can pray, reflect, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. This wonderful opportunity can be yours at the annual Summer Scripture Conference at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. Notable Christian scholars from across the United States will present this year's program, According to the Scriptures, focusing on the relation between Old and New Testaments. The four major speakers will look at the Old Testament as Jesus lived it and how Jesus fulfilled it in the New. The Summer Scripture Seminar will be held Sunday through Friday, June 23rd through the 28th. Stay for the week or sign up for sets of three lectures. For details, call 847-837-4558 or go to summerscripture.org. The Summer Scripture Seminar offers you spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of the Lord.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot three times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Good morning again, everyone. We have come to our last segment with Professor Ted Williams. And we're having a delightful conversation of a very creative individual who's utilizing all the gifts God has given him. And you also have been led to create something for this Juneteenth commemorative celebration. Ted, can you tell us a little bit about Juneteenth, what it means, and why is it important for us to understand this particular event?
Sure, absolutely. So we commemorate the Juneteenth celebration as really a remembrance for the emancipation of slavery, but particularly because, from what I understand, there were people throughout the country, particularly in areas like Texas, who were not even aware that slaves had been freed. So as this news carried itself across the country, Juneteenth really became sort of our official day of celebration for our freedom. It really is the equivalent of the 4th of July for African Americans. And so
why is that? Excuse me for interrupting you, Ted, but why is it we don't hear much about it, or it's not celebrated on a larger scale than it? I mean, it sounds like something that should be celebrated like the 4th of July, but it isn't.
Well, that's a very good point. You know, that's a long question. And
right.
Short answer. I think sociologically, African Americans have really tried to the best of their ability to assimilate into American culture. And that has been sort of the immigrant story for all groups across the nation for history. But African Americans have, unfortunately, and Native Americans have had the hardest time assimilating for many, many reasons. And so I think many African Americans look back at some of these celebrations and are just sort of more concerned with, you know, being a part of American culture and getting that American dream, the house, the dog, the kids, that sort of thing.
Is it more concerned, Ted, or is it they don't want to remember? They want to forget that.
You know what? I would agree with you, brother. I think that sometimes that pain is difficult to remember, and sometimes people don't know what to do with it. But I think even more importantly, once again, this sort of assimilation narrative, we are Americans, and Americans have short memories, whether it is about slavery, whether it's about the Holocaust, whether it's, I mean, you name it, you know, we can't barely remember who was on the news 2 months ago and who won the last Super Bowl. And so, you know, we've got a very short memory. We're not a culture that really, unfortunately, values history as much as we should. I think that's part of it. But I will tell you this millennial generation, I'm very excited about, because these controversies around the statues of Confederate leaders across the country, that sort of thing, and the movement that they have created to fight for reparations at places like Georgetown University and places like that is exciting. And so I am very encouraged that we are facing a younger, more educated generation who is really wanting to remember and wanting to celebrate our past and connect it to where we're going.
So how are you going to tell that story on next week? You're having an event next week.
Right.
Right.
So next week is really just a preview. So here's what we're going to be doing next week at the Bronzeville Community Clubhouse. And we will be giving a preview of our new production, 1619. 1619 is really a series of performance pieces that are reflections about what has happened in the past and connections to what is happening today. And that really is really sort of the theme there. So what we're going to be doing is giving a taste of the show. We'll be having a couple performance pieces, very small pieces. Then we're going to be having a panel discussion of some community activists, some from the faith community, some from media, some from academia, who will be talking about the significance of this 400-year journey and where we have to go. So the 19th event is going to be super exciting, but that is the appetizer for the real meal, which will be August 24th at Kennedy King College, which is the world premiere of our new production, 1619.
And Ted, promise me that you'll come back on and talk to us either before or after that particular event, because a half an hour show with you is just not enough time.
John, I appreciate you saying that. I was actually thinking about this morning, and I was saying to myself, next time I'm going to come in and hang out with you at the studio. So I promise you, you got my word. I'm going to come hang out with you before the show opens.
Thank you so much. We would appreciate that. So this event that you're having on next Wednesday, I believe it is sold out as well.
It is sold out, and I was amazed at the response to this, but I realized this very quickly with this production. Unlike many of the productions I've done, and I've done a number of productions, this is so much bigger than me. And so I really, truly understand this notion of being a vessel, and I want to be a good steward of this story and of this narrative, this commemoration. And so I am amazed a lot of people want to come and talk about it. And I think, as you said before, as we talked about, maybe, just maybe, those of us with leadership positions, with the artistic skills, with the platform, it really is up to us to remind people. Mm. And maybe the reason why they don't remember is because all of us who are in these positions aren't doing as good enough job as we should be doing in terms of reminding them and putting this information in ways that is palatable and that is ways that are exciting for people to hear this. And so for me, I think, you know, you can look at the glass as half empty or half full. We can look at a problem. Well, there's an old phrase that says you can either curse the darkness or you can light a candle. And I'm trying to light a candle. And I know you are as well.
And I salute you for that. And you are absolutely correct. Enough of us, or not enough of us, are out there trying to give light to our situation and more so solutions to how we can come out of this thing better. And so this presentation that you're going to have, I think it's going to enlighten a lot of people and certainly put some, I think, air under our wings so that we can fly with more information. Ted, you also are an author of a book, I believe, A Way Out.
Yes, sir.
Is this related or no?
Very much so, actually. So a few years ago, I published a book through a publisher in Oregon. That is a look at, it's called The Way Out, Christianity, Politics, and the Future of the African-American Community, really looking at the role of faith in our journey historically, making the comparison between the narrative of Joseph and his years in slavery, and yet how God brought him out and put him in a position where he was able to help many people. The African-American community now has a $1 trillion economy. We'd be the 10th wealthiest, actually the 8th wealthiest country in the world if we were a singular country. Mm. And so we have been through a lot in this country, but we have been blessed on the other side. Although we look at our condition compared to the rest of America and go, man, we are in bad shape. And we could, there's strong argument for that. But if you compare us to the rest of the world, we are in a great position. And so the book talks about that, but then it talks about where politically and socially we have to go in order to make our communities better institutionally and family life and that sort of thing. And so there's a lot of the work and the principles that are in the book that we try to bring to the stage in the 1619 production as well.
I tell you, I am so excited about this production. I can't wait for August to see it on the bigger scale. Ted, we got just about a minute and a half or so left. I want you to share with people how they might be able to get a hold of you to maybe come see this August production, because I know the one next week is sold out, and how they can also purchase that book. That sounds very interesting. I like that. I bet it's a great read.
Well, I appreciate it, John. And when I come in, I'm going to bring you a copy.
I appreciate it. Yes.
I certainly will. And we'll be selling some of the books at the event next week as well. But you can find everything, all the information on my website at tedwilliamsiii.com. So it's just 3eyes.com. And if you do a Google search or whatever, I'm on all the social media sites under Ted Williams III mostly. So, but the website has tickets and that sort of thing. And we look forward to seeing you guys. I really, really believe that this thing, these tickets are going to go fast. The August 24th show is going to be our premiere, and we will be looking to expand the show, the run of the show in the fall, and not only in Chicago, but in some other cities I've had.
That's what I wanted to hear. Now, see, I'm excited as heck to hear that, you know, a traveling show with this kind of information. People, you have heard Ted Williams, Professor Ted Williams, who is just a man with many hats, who is bringing his gifts to the stage and sharing them with everyone. Ted, thank you so very much for coming on this morning. May God bless all of your efforts, especially this effort Juneteenth next week. And then in August, we're going to ask God just to lift you up and keep you safe and prosperous.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. I really enjoyed speaking with you today. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Yeah. Who am I? What does it mean to love? Why was I created?